Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 19th, 2014. And with me today, I have, I like the idea of referring to you guys as my walking Wikipedia. I have Dave Hamilton with me.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
And also John Martellaro. And I hope you're doing well, John.
Hey, good morning. And good morning, Dave. It's been a while since we've been on together.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, yeah, this is great. Walking Wikipedia, huh?
Sure.
All right.
I don't know if that does anything positive for your pay grade, but, you know, hey, take it as you can get it, right?
Yes. Yes. Sure. I'll take it as I can get it. Yeah, that's right.
There we go. All right. So what I wanted to do was take a look at a piece that I ran this morning where it's a piece that I created totally for my own self-interest, but I figured that it would also be of interest or value to other people. And it's a collection of apps and accessories that I have used that have enhanced my my walking and running and hiking routines. And all of these things work together with my iPhone. So, like, the first thing that I have, and I'm sure this is going to come as a big surprise to everyone, is that I carry a Fitbit with me everywhere I go. And I say big surprise facetiously because I'm pretty sure pretty much everyone on the planet knows that that I absolutely love my Fitbit. So I've got that for tracking all of my steps and my sleep patterns at night, because it's also no secret that I do not sleep well at all. And so that's been very helpful in figuring out what my sleep patterns really are. And from there, I've been able to work on improving my overall sleep quality, which is a good thing. And then another hardware thing that I use when I run, I use the Blue Bud X earbuds from Jaybird. And they're designed for fitness activities. I actually never wear headphones when I hike because I prefer to immerse myself in the environment when I'm hiking. But I like having the cadence that comes with music when I'm running, plus the audio feedback that I get from apps like Runkeeper that let me know how fast I'm going and how far I've gone. And if I've set a route for myself, how much farther I have before I've completed my run. And then to wrap it all up nicely into a beautiful little package, I use the Fitbit app because I can feed information from all these different devices that I use and all the different apps I use into there, and I have a single location for looking at all this content, which means that I'm also really excited to check out health in iOS 8 since that will serve the same purpose, and I'm wondering if that's going to be a better option than using the Fitbit app for all of that.
I had no idea that you could the Fitbit app acted as an aggregator. That's interesting. I didn't realize that they were paving that way already. It shows you that I don't have a Fitbit. I use the Fitbit app only because it reads from the pedometer, the motion chip in my iPhone 5S. But that's the extent of it. So, well,
do you have a smart scale?
I do not.
Okay, well, if you get a smart scale, odds are there's a link between the data the scale collects and back to Fitbit.
Huh.
The Fitbit webpage. Well, and yet you can actually do a lot of this even if you don't have the physical Fitbit, because if you're using the Fitbit app, because it can track information for you even without the physical device, that – in your account on the web page, you can get to what they call the Fitbit apps, and these are services and apps that come from other companies that tie in to Fitbit. So, like my Withings Smart Scale, every time I step on the scale, it sends the data over to Fitbit. So I'm tracking my my weight and body mass index from there as well. And like Runkeeper, they have an app link in as well, so I can send all my information there. I used to use Nike Plus for that all the time, but the utility that was automatically loading the data into Fitbit has become unreliable. So I think I'm No, I don't think. I know. I am slowly phasing out of using Nike Plus exclusively, and I'm moving over to using Runkeeper exclusively for keeping track of all of that.
Huh. Well, Jeff almost convinced me to buy a Fitbit a while back, and then I started hearing rumors of the iWatch, and I thought, well, I think I'm going to wait, because that's $100. I don't want to spend. I'm going to spend $200 or $300 on an iWatch.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm assuming that when the iWatch comes out, if it does do a lot of fitness tracking like it looks like it will, I'll end up getting that. And who knows, we may finally have a wrist-worn device that I will wear on a regular basis. Because so far, I have not found anything that I want to wear on my wrist.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, well, that's a whole different conversation.
Yes.
Because that is an interesting thing. We as a society have gotten out of wearing there are some of us, myself included, who I really enjoy wearing a wristwatch, but I went years without wearing one, and then I sort of got back into it. I was into watches as a kid, just as almost a hobby-ish kind of thing, and I rekindled that maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But prior to that, I wasn't wearing a watch, and I know that there are lots of people that choose not to wear a watch simply because smartphones have replaced the functionality of that in terms of having a timekeeping device on your person. But so that'll be it's interesting, you know. But you're right; the Fitbit has sort of brought that back. You do wear a device on your wrist all the time. It just isn't a watch.
But in my case, I'm using the Fitbit One, so it's clipped to my pocket.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, now we're on a tangent. So
That's all right. It's an interesting tangent. Yeah.
It is. It's like visiting Wikipedia. Well, you said that where you're walking Wikipedia, it's like visiting Wikipedia. It's full of opportunities for tangential learning.
Yes, it is. Yes. And all right. So I've been sitting here waxing poetic about how I'm using my iPhone and these apps and these devices together for my fitness tracking. And it's gotten me to thinking more about how we can use our iPhones and iPads as devices that enhance the overall quality of our life in many different ways. And actually, one thing I started looking at just this morning, you guys don't even know about this yet. I started looking into apps and services that track our emotional state too. Yeah. So I'm really interested in seeing what I discover from that. And of course, eventually that's going to turn into an article because how can I not share what I'm discovering with other people?
So you're saying that maybe after the iWatch, Apple will sell the iMood Ring?
Yes. And totally on a tangent, my feeling on mood rings is that these should be the only types of rings people give each other for marriage or serious long-term committed relationships.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because you walk up to the person, you can look at the ring, and you already know how the conversation is going to go.
Yeah.
Well, they'll just send that over text messages, and so the phones will measure our emotions and then talk to each other. So when you pick up the phone, it says, don't talk to your wife right now.
Yeah.
Do you realize how low the divorce rate in this country would go if we had something like that?
Yeah, it'd be a good thing.
I think it would be
I don't know that it'd be a good thing. I mean, we're talking about replacing face-to-face interaction, which does allow us to read emotion and things with yet another technological surrogate. I'm not convinced that's a good thing. I take that back. It would be an interesting thing for some other culture. That's right. Yes.
And I have seen some relationships, though, where it would enhance the quality of their overall life experience. But still, tangent. So, anyhow, I'm curious what you guys are using with your iPhones that or iPads that you would consider to be life enhancing in some way. And it's totally open. Whatever it is that you consider to be life enhancing, that qualifies.
You know, regular listeners know that I try to walk every morning. But I'm kind of old school about it. I put on my earpods and I listen to music on my iPhone, and I have my circuit of 1.7 miles that I walk, and I log it in a numbers spreadsheet. But I really don't go into calories and all the little details. I do track my weight. with a dumb scale. So I'm kind of old school about that. But there's some other apps that I discovered in the pre-show discussion that really do kind of enhance my life. And I think a critical one for me, especially with the weather we've been having lately here, is an app called Radar Scope. And that taps into the internet to your local Doppler radar system. The same stuff you probably see on the evening weather report on TV from your TV local TV news. And it shows you return from the Doppler radar so that you can track the movement of bad weather and see lightning strikes and see cells and severe weather warnings and alerts are put in yellow and red boxes along with flood warnings. It's just a fabulous app. And in the afternoon when we're getting bad weather, it's really helpful for me to kind of manage my time and see what's headed this way, because we've had a lot of rain here in Colorado in the last couple months. Another one I can't live without is International Movie Database. It turns out that from the TV shows and the movies we watch, the To Do Movies app that keeps track of the movies I want to watch and have watched, I'm always looking at International Movie Database to figure out what that actor name was or actress name was or some detail of a TV show, or looking at an episode guide and trying to figure out what I've seen and what I need to see and stuff like that. That is a fabulous app, and it keeps getting better and better. That's just a couple for me.
That's very cool. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I would say, you know, media consumption is part of where that begins for me. I mean, it when anyone asks me what's the one app on your iPhone that enhances your life, I too, like you, Jeff, I immediately go to an app that's tied to hardware, and that's the Sonos app for me. Because it had such a becoming a Sonos household, and that's really the right way to describe that process. But becoming a Sonos household really had a profound impact on my daily life and on our daily life. We used to, you know, digitized music on our computers. We had a 5-disc CD changer, and we would constantly put CDs in it, and we would reload them every 3 or 4 days. And whenever one of us got home from work, this was pre-kids, you know, we would just start up the CDs, and there was always music playing aloud in the house. And then we went and we got our music on our, you know, we went and did the big, great big CD ripping project that everyone kind of went through at that point in time, and mm-hmm. ripped all our songs to our computer, and then did it again when we realized we didn't rip them at the right rate. And that actually started making things worse slowly. You know, it started with, well, I've got a cable that I can run from my iMac or whatever can be. I didn't have an iMac at the time, whatever can be, up to the stereo, and so we can play that way. And it was cool, and it was kitschy and novel, but it was sort of also a pain in the neck. So and that pain in the neck never really got better, to the point where we weren't playing music aloud in the house much. It became this thing we played in our cars, but in the house it just didn't happen. And if it did, you know, it was maybe the kids were listening on headphones or whatever, but even that wasn't happening a whole lot. And so becoming a Sonos household brought all that back, because it allows us to play our digitized music, and even now our streaming music, of course, all that good stuff, aloud. And it is 100% controlled by our iPhones, for better and for worse. So that app really truly has enhanced my life. And along those lines, the DS Audio app, which is the companion app to the Disk Station, which is the Synology network storage unit, I have my music library on there, and that's where my Sonos plays music from. But they have an app that you install on the NAS, and it's free, called Audio Station. And then they have an app that you install on your iOS device called DS Audio, which is also free. And it links either over your local network or over the internet, however it needs to, and however you've got it set up. But it's fairly easy to set up. And I essentially have my own iTunes Match streaming service that just streams from my house. And I do also have iTunes Match, but it's such a pain in the neck on the iPhone, because you never know what you're doing with it. It's either showing you all your songs or only the songs you have synced. And if I like to be in a little more control of what's going on there, just because of you know, data usage and all that. So I like DS Audio, and DS Video does exactly the same thing with videos. I can stream or sync them to my device. And so So those are the media consumption and the ability to have my media everywhere that I want it is, I suppose, a big thing. So yeah, those are kind of the big ones for me. I might add one more. Do I have time to add one more, Jeff?
Of course.
Okay. So, John, you mentioned IMDb, and that reminded me of how much I use an app. It's a horrible UI, but an app from a website. The website's called commonsensemedia.org, and their app used to be called that, but now it's called Kids Media. And they have people that go through and rate pretty much every movie you can think of. Not just in terms of the standard rating, but they have five or six categories: violence, language, sex, drugs, commercialism, and all this. And they tell you, you know, okay, in this movie, you know, there's a lot of instances of the F word or whatever, you know, and some of it's positive and some of it's negative, but we don't use it. And they don't purport to present it as we will pass judgment as to whether or not you should let your kids watch a movie. It allows us some quick insight into, okay, you know, I've read five sentences now. Now I know, are there going to be any weird, uncomfortable moments where, yeah, you know, we're talking about, you know, sex in a way that we haven't yet talked about in the house? And sometimes that's actually a good reason. I've gotten to the point now, and my kids are older. They're 12 and 14, and I was not doing this necessarily 5 years ago. But I've gotten to the point now where before we watch a movie, I read aloud from the thing, and it forces us to just have that conversation. Or I have the kids read aloud from it, and it keeps that kind of open thing, and it keeps any of those, you know, uncomfortable surprises from cropping up. So the Kids Media app is one that we use. That's for better, really cool. And for worse. Yeah.
All right, so my observation on the apps we chose, it's actually very interesting for me, because when I look at it, I really focus on health and fitness apps for my well-being and or my life enhancement. And John, it looks to me like you focus on apps that allow you to gather information.
Right.
And Dave, for you, it's primarily music, but I'll call it personal entertainment, because you did mention movies also.
Oh no, it definitely is personal entertainment. Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah, so, that's telling. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's very telling. All right, and we could probably go for like an hour just on that, but we are out of time.
Oh darn.
Yeah, I know. Yet again, thanks both of you for joining me, and I now have a new list of apps that I need to check out, and I'll make sure that they're in the show notes too for all of our listeners. And for our listeners, if you have apps that you want to tell us about, let us know on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is TMODaily, or you can comment in the show notes at the Mac Observer website also. So thanks again, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, fun.